So for our talk this morning, we're actually going to be having a reflection on what we've just heard. So the reading there on Romans, and Dave and I are going to have a bit of a conversation. No idea how this is going to work because we haven't scripted at all. We said that we're going to go with whatever the Spirit gives us this morning. Now, when I was read this to start off with, I thought that they're saying that everybody is being disobedient because God is going to give mercy and forgive us. But Dave certainly put me right on that when we were talking about this actually yesterday. What was your answer, Dave?
Well, I think there's an issue actually that's come up during our reading of Romans, because we've been looking at Romans now for several months, and it's what I would call a kind of soundbite theology. That is, we take a short passage like the one that Mary read for us this morning, and we try to make sense of it without looking at the whole picture. And I think when we're reading scripture, and particularly a book like Romans, which is quite a challenge, we need to zoom out as well as zoom in. And I think when you zoom out from what this particular passage is saying, we see that Paul is wrestling with the question, if God has already chosen his own people, the Jews, where do the Gentiles fit, the pagans, where do they fit in? And if God has now switched his allegiance to the pagans, where do the Jews fit in? And I think what Paul is trying to say is that he hasn't forgotten his promises. He hasn't taken back the gifts that he's given to his chosen people, the Jews. He hasn't forgotten them. But also, he is now including the Gentiles, the pagans. And what he's really saying is that all of us, doesn't matter who we are, whatever our ethnicity, our education, our sexuality, our wealth, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. There are no exceptions. But all have also received God's mercy. And I think that's, or God's grace, that's, I think, the central message of this passage. I don't know if that helps to make it clearer.
It does, I think, yes. And I think it's the last line of that reading, for God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. So I think it's one thing that we all know, that we are all imperfect, we all sin, we all do things wrong. And this is, I think, where God is in. Because of all of that, God is able to forgive us, and which I think is the beautiful thing. We do have his love and his grace.
Yeah, we're all in the mud.
Yes.
Is really what Paul is saying. I think there's an interesting additional thought there, which links back to Mary's sermon last Sunday. I don't know how many were able to be with us for her sermon, but she was reminding us that there's an inclination that all of us have, and particularly Christians who are already in the community of faith, which is to set some conditions for people to come into that experience. She talked about conditions that we might set about what goes on to a child's graveyard, or conditions for accepting a child at baptism. Those were some of the examples that she gave. But I think what's really important, reading Paul carefully as he writes this epistle to the Romans, is to realize that there are no conditions to God's offer of grace and mercy. We're all in the mud. We are all sinners, whether we're Jews or pagans. Doesn't matter what about our wealth or our ethnicity or our sexuality. We're all in a mess. And the only hope we have is the grace and mercy of God. And that's what really characterizes, or should characterize, the church. We are a community that accepts one another. And that's why we sing this song, All Are Welcome.
So, Harriet, can we have the next two verses, please?
And the sin of
Thank you, Harriet. Lovely. So now, yes, Dave.
Well, I was going to say, we thought it might be a nice idea then for us to pick out phrases from those two verses that we've just sung that strike either you or I of particular importance around this question of why should we want to gather as a church?
Yes. And I think actually the very first line of that second verse, let us build a house where prophets speak. Now, of course, when I hear the word prophet, of course, what's my initial thought? It's the people from the Old Testament. But of course, that's not the only people that are prophets, is it, Dave?
Well, yeah. I mean, Paul is quite clear in one of the other epistles that one of the gifts that God has given to his church is the gift of prophets. He lists others, you know, the apostles and teachers and pastors and so on. But it's an interesting gift because there should be amongst us a desire to hear a word that helps us make sense of our world, which is, of course, what the prophets of the Old Testament did. And I love that, the way that verse actually goes on to talk about the church is the place where all God's children dare to seek and to dream of God's reign anew, that is, his coming kingdom. So coming to church ought to fire our imagination with what it really means to live in God's kingdom.
Yeah, it's beautiful, the fact that, of course, we are all God's children, which is lovely. I suppose in some way, when we're talking about the prophets, I suppose there is one of our sister religions, I suppose, when you talk about we talk about the Mormons, and they have modern-day prophets. So, of course, we do have people now who are, but we don't seem to have many people that are prophesying for us on God's behalf.
Well, I'd be a bit worried if actually some people come to church and they've got a calling card that says, you know, Mr. Smith, prophet. Yeah. You know, yeah. That notion. I think each of us have responsibility to one another to interpret the world to each other and to remind one another that behind all of this is God's grace that is there to bring his kingdom on earth. We pray for it every Sunday, don't we?
We do indeed. We do indeed, yes.
Yeah. I mean, the other phrase that comes to me is actually in the other verse that Harriet sang for us, which is a description really of what the kingdom's like, where peace and justice meet and is revealed in time and space. Perhaps people in the church would like to have a copy of these words, because I think they're really worth reflecting on and meditating on. If we are in a church that is firing our imagination and getting us energized and expressing the love and the hope that God's promise brings, and when we come to church, we should be inspired. And, you know, I suppose it goes without saying that sadly sometimes some of our churches are pretty dull. We should be expecting more. This should be a place where we recover our excitement for God's coming kingdom.
Absolutely. I think when you were sending out the initial order of service to me and a few of the others, you actually included all the words there. So make sure we get that email, I think, to Mary, and then if she could send that out to everybody, then people then can see the words and be able to reflect over them like we are now. And I will have some printed off so that for those of you that don't have email, they'll be available for you to have a look at as well. So I'll have those ready for you for next week.
Great. Thank you, Ian. Well, why don't we now turn to prayer? And Faith is going to lead us in a short prayer based on these two verses.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning for our church and its leaders, both here and across the world. We remember our brethren who live in fear under persecution, and we thank you that we can gather freely to worship. What a privilege we so often overlook. We pray for Archbishop Justin and our bishops Stephen and Colin, for our own ministry team, Paul, Dave, Ian and Mary, We pray for our church members here and on Zoom, and for those unable to join us for whatever reason. Help us, Lord, to be united in Christ and strong in our faith and fellowship. Let us build a house where prophets speak. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our relationships with one another, with our family and wider relatives, with friends and work colleagues. Help us always to show the love of Jesus in our speech, in our actions, and in our interaction with others. Help us to be your people in the outside world, as well as here in church. Let us build a house where love is found. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
So let's invite Harriet to sing two more verses from this song.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Harriet. I think, Dave, with this one, on the verse 4, again, we've got, let's build a house where the hounds will reach beyond the wooden stone. And I just think that's lovely. That is God's hands coming down to touch all of us, to bring all of us in, which I just think is lovely.
And it goes on to say, you know, to heal and to strengthen.
Yes.
You know, this place is a place of healing, a place where we can be encouraged and supported and nurtured and strengthened for our witness in the world.
I think it's also with the following, the next two words, serve and teach. So not only is it that we are served and we are taught, but it's also for us to serve and teach others and help spread God's wonderful word to all our neighbours and the rest of the world. So it's an important job, I think, for all of us.
There's a lot that we could say from these verses. I think the next line goes on.
Absolutely. One moment, Dave. Barbara wanted to say something very quickly, so if you bear with me.
Well, you say that we come here to be inspired. Well, we do. That is what we come for, to be inspired. And the prayer that says that send us out in the power of your Spirit to love and work to your praise and glory. And that's what we come to church for, to go out with the power of love.
Thank you.
Sorry, go on, Dave.
No, that's fine. That's great. Thank you.
And I think this is lovely, where we are wanting people to join in and talk about things. So after this is a reflection. Yes, we've led it basically with just Dave and I. So it's nice that somebody else wants to, or others want to join in. So anyway, Dave, sorry, over to you.
Well, actually, it's worth just saying this, Ian. We were going to suggest after the service.
He's at home and he...
if anybody would like to continue this conversation after the service, we'll stay on Zoom, and even people who are in the church, if you would like to go on home and come onto Zoom, we can continue this conversation for a little while with one another afterwards. But just picking up on a couple of other phrases in those two verses that Harriet sang for us, Ian, hear the outcast and the stranger bear the image of God's face. That's a very powerful image, isn't it? The notion that those who are outcasts and strangers are not only welcome, but we are invited to see in them the image of God.
Absolutely. But isn't that exactly what Jesus used to do, though? He was always preaching and being with the outcasts. Yep. And it is beautiful. But again, though, it just shows how it is for everyone, everybody, which is just wonderful. Yep. And I think the final verse, well, there it's, that is just it, the whole one, built of tears and cries and laughter. Now, isn't that what you have in fellowship? And then prayers of faith and songs of grace. So let this house proclaim from floor to rafter. So it's like we say, let's lift the roof, and, you know, in our praise, unfortunately in church, we can't sing with gusto at the moment, but hopefully soon we will be able to, and join in with our prayers and songs for everybody.
Yeah, the other phrase that struck me in that last verse, actually, is this notion of it's a house where all are named and their songs and visions heard. You know, there is something very special about being known by our name. And you'll remember, Ian, as we were just starting our conversation about this service, the challenge for all of us, even in a small congregation like St. Bartholomew's, of knowing everyone's name. The joy is that God knows all of our names, and we are not only named, but invited to bring our songs and our visions into this community. So that, you know, one of the things I think this song does is it encourages a much more open invitation to all of us to contribute in whatever way we can. Some of us are not going to sing. Some of us are not going to necessarily have visions, but there are many things we can contribute so that we are all one here in Christ and all are welcome.
I think I mentioned, didn't I, when we said that about being all named, is actually, could I actually name everybody that we have on our electoral roll? And I don't mind admitting I couldn't, which perhaps isn't good. But I'm sure who won't mind. We were preparing Chris Dingles back last Christmas, and I can't remember who was in doing it as for the first time. And I went to introduce everybody, and I couldn't remember Donna's name. She was there, and how long have I known Donna for? I dread to think how many years. Could I remember her name? I could remember Jean, but I could not remember Donna. And as I say, I felt really embarrassed about the thing at the time. But yes, it's lovely that we are all named.
And we all have a song or a vision or a gift of some kind to bring to each other, to help in the building up of the body of Christ, so that we might really be, if you like, there might be here a foretaste of the kingdom of God.